Rick Hour on Power 620.
You're listening to Dr. Rick Wright, Old School Sunday. You can't miss Rick Wright. It'll mess up the rest of your week.
Well, it's 1 minute past the hour of 4 o'clock, and welcome to the 4 o'clock Funk Hour on this incredible Easter 2017 spectacular. We're dedicating our radio show today to the memory of Admiral Robert Lee Tony, outstanding, legendary African-American admiral in the United States Navy. I got his sister standing by out in the big city of San Francisco, California, probably Oakland, to talk about her incredible brother. Let me see if she's there. Aunt Virginia, are you there? Aunt Virginia Walker, are you there?
Is on the line. Permission to speak, sir.
Oh, Captain Rick Wright, United States Navy. Granted. Aunt Virginia, this is indeed a pleasure and an opportunity to have the sister of Admiral Robert Lee Tony on air here at Power 620 as we broadcast live from Syracuse, New York. Aunt Virginia Walker, please introduce yourself to the Power 620 radio audience here in Central New York and those listening all over the world.
Well, let me tell you, my name is Winnie Virginia Tony, and I include the Winnie because my brother Bob insisted that that be my first name. That was my great-grandmother. And it's a pleasure to be with you on this Easter morning. We just came back from church a little while ago ourselves. Lots of family members that come up from the Bay Area, and we had a great time together, and we're looking forward to a great day. And this is a real honor for me to have this opportunity to share with you some of my thoughts about my brother, Admiral Tony.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Admiral Tony will find his final resting place this coming Thursday, I believe. Wanted Aunt Virginia this coming Thursday?
Yes, that's correct.
In Arlington National Cemetery. And, of course, Admiral Tony has had a remarkable career in the United States Navy, and especially in the area of promoting the existence of an incredible family of African-American naval officers who now ride the airways, the sea lanes, and the seaways of the world. Aunt Virginia, tell me about your brother from your perspective.
Sure. Well, I guess, first of all, you have to know that I'm the youngest of six that were in our family.
Yes.
And I had five brothers, and Bob was the second to the oldest. And that was a very special place to have in our family. But in particular for me, Bob always held me in a special light. My birthday is in February, and I don't care where he was in the world. Wherever the military had taken him, I knew that on that day I was going to hear from him. So he always treated me in a very special way, and it had a significant impact on me. During the period that I was coming of age, you know, we were in a small town. I was born in Oakland, but we were in a small town in Northern California, and there were challenges for young African-American women in terms of self-confidence, all the things that we were seeing that were signs of beauty and self-respect were being represented by, you know, folks of the majority race. And my brother Bob was the one who always took the time to make sure that I was exposed to different things. He's the one that took me to the first play that I ever attended, South Pacific. I'll never forget that. And taught me about different types of music. And so, you know, he's special to me in a very personal way, but also because of the many accomplishments that he achieved in his lifetime. They were very inspirational.
I tell you, his high school record just basically shows the dynamics of a dynamite future naval officer. Hey, what's that town? Oraville, California, is that
Oraville, California.
Okay.
small town, very limited African-American community.
Yes.
Our parents had migrated in one of the great migrations, you know, out of the South, coming out here for better opportunities and work. And my father soon saw, after the war was over and being in Oakland, that he didn't feel that was the best place to raise these five boys that he had. And then I was born. But he sought a place that had a smaller environment where he could exercise more control, I would say. And that he did. He made them line up and toe the line. The values were strong. And you will do well in school. You will do well at whatever you undertake, whether it's sports or things in the church, things in the community. So the standard was set, and they towed the line. There's only 10 months between Bob and his older brother, Walter.
Yes.
He passed away. It's been about 17 years now, I think. But they were very close, very competitive. Bob was always very competitive, but he was great at basketball, did a great job with that. He played football. He was a little on the light side for that. He was better at basketball, but he earned what was called then lots of block O's for Oroville for
yes.
playing on the team. And he was in ROTC all 4 years of high school, and I was a little person, but I would watch him in our backyard having all my brothers line up and march after him, and he would call out these commands.
I'm loving this. Hey, Aunt Virginia.
Yes.
When I met your brother, Admiral Tony, out at the Admiral Kid Club,
yes.
San Diego, California, big conference we were having of naval officers. And he heard that I was teaching mass communications at Syracuse University in the Newhouse School of Public Communications.
Okay.
And your brother walked up and just, "Hey, Rick, I used to be a disc jockey when I was in high school."
He did.
He told me he was a disc jockey in high school. Hey, tell me about those disc jockey days.
Bob was something. He loved music and all the rock and roll of that period of time. And I remember when they came out with those tapes. First of all, he had a big reel-to-reel thing.
Yes.
And he would record music and talk my father. He was the only one that could talk my father into letting him have parties at our house.
Oh, my God.
He formed this club called the Highlighters.
Uh-huh.
And they were classy, let me tell you. The parties that they did and all of that, led by Bob most of the time, certainly influenced by him, they had to be first class. And when the cassette tapes came out,
oh, yes.
Bob figured out a way to put it in his car.
Uh-oh.
I mean, this was before
Uh-oh.
We had tape players in the car.
Admiral Robert Lee Tony, in heaven, we're talking about you this afternoon here at
yes.
iHeartRadio, Syracuse, New York. Hey, now, he told me that after he was got out of high school, he went to Youngstown.
Yes.
University out in Ohio for a little bit.
Yes.
And then he said he went back out to California, went to Chico State University,
yes,
I believe.
Yes, he did. My older brother had gone to undergraduate school here, and then he had transferred to Berkeley.
Yes.
But, and the brother that was next to him, younger, Samuel Tony and Glenn Tony, they went to undergrad at Chico State as well. And so they shared an apartment together. And again, they exemplified closeness and being able to be there for each other and count on each other. They
yes.
had one checking account that Bob set up. They all shared it. And they knew that, you know, whoever was working put money in that. And when somebody needed something, they were never frivolous about accessing that. So that was one of the things that he did. And all of these things that you know about, again, as a younger sibling, what examples did they set? It was fantastic. But yes, that's Bob graduated from undergrad in Chico.
Yes. I know Admiral Tony, and I'm going back to that day at the Admiral Kidd Club at the Naval Base at San Diego, California. And I'm there just absolutely in awe of your brother, Admiral Tony. And he was telling about his background. He said he went to OCS, Officer Candidate School, out of undergrad school. And the Navy Officer Candidate School at that time was in Newport, Rhode Island. In fact, they've gone back to Newport from Pensacola. And he told me he came in the Navy around in 1957, 58, I think he was telling me.
That's right. That's right. He sure did. And that was a proud moment for our family, my father in particular. Was very proud that Robert had gotten accepted at OCS at Newport.
Uh-huh.
And even then, you know, the letters that I used to get from him encouraging me in junior high school and all of that, encouraging his brothers that were still at Chico State, they were awesome. You know, he talked about the challenges there. Again, you know, there were not a lot of folks that looked like him there. And so it was an additional responsibility that he carried in being there and doing well. And when he got commissioned, my dad was able to be there. And it was interesting because a year later, I believe, Sam was the next brother was graduating, and he followed in Bob's footsteps and went to OCS as well.
Oh, a Navy family.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Power 620, Old School Sunday with Captain Rick Wright. On air every Sunday from 1 o'clock till 7 o'clock, and we have on the line, all the way from the big state of California, I like to call her Aunt Virginia Walker. So says her niece, Kelly, who is the daughter of her brother, Admiral Robert Lee Tony. And Admiral Tony, to our incredible Navy family, military family throughout the world, was incredible. And he told in that speech that day at the Admiral Kidd Club at San Diego, he talked about when he got called to Washington in the late 1960s and the early 70s to spearhead a program that really got many more African-American naval officers within the ranks of the United States Navy, a service that at one time the only thing we could be was cooks and messmen.
Yes.
And from there, he just had so many incredible commands. I mean, he told me that he actually created the first NROTC units at a historical African-American college, I think Prairie View or Savannah State at that time.
Yes.
Oh, Aunt Virginia, you got a family of achievers here.
Well, it's really true. I think he felt a special calling that he was in a role that where he could impact the lives of, you know, African Americans.
Yes.
And he didn't shy away from that. And it was though it was destiny that the call for him by President Kennedy to come and participate and lead that effort to attract more African Americans into the military, into the Navy in particular, he didn't hesitate, I'm sure, to say yes. It was meant for him to do this, and he took it very seriously. He knew personally that there were so many well-qualified, over-qualified gentlemen that would, you know, be able to bring a lot to that service, and to have the opportunity to serve at a level of officer responsibility was just another thing to shed more light and to let people see, you know, by overlooking certain groups, that you're denying contributions that could be made to benefit the world, you know, our nation. That is a role that he was particularly proud of. There wasn't a single recommendation for someone to be accepted into that program that was turned down. He did a great job of qualifying. When he recommended, you can believe the person was solid.
Admiral Robert Lee Tony, United States Navy. His interment will be at the Arlington National Cemetery, Arlington, Virginia, Washington, D.C., this coming Thursday. And Admiral Tony, towards the end of his naval career, he had a major job with the United States Navy's Pacific Fleet, didn't he, Aunt Virginia?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. The expanse of his management and his responsibility were large and significant. And it's interesting, you know, you can oftentimes, when it's your brother, you know, your family,
you're
used to them doing great things, you don't really stop and think about the significance of it all. And I've reflected, you know, many times as, you know, we got older on all that this man accomplished in his life. Always with a focus on family, on what he could do with the community. You know, when he came back to the Bay Area, he was stationed at Treasure Island, and the command officers' quarters there were just really something. It was a joy for us to go there for Thanksgiving.
Oh, I loved it.
It was just a wonderful place to celebrate. But it was during that period of time when the Missouri, faced the threat of not being able to dock in San Francisco. And he established very close ties with Senator Feinstein, some of the others that, you know, local folks to San Francisco. And he worked very, very hard to get folks to understand what a benefit that was, particularly to the Hunters Point community area. He worked a lot with the schools in the East Bay. He really had an affinity for the participants in the Boys and Girls Club because he grew up, you know, spending a lot of time at the Boys and Girls Club by himself. He adopted a school. Took a group of kids to Hawaii. I mean, just allowed them to have just some great experiences, seeing, you know, the reality of what they could aspire to that could come true.
Aunt Virginia Walker, before I let you go, I must bring this up.
What?
The president of the National Naval Officers Association, Commander Denise McCauley-Crary, always tell me about one of those bucket list wishes was to go to Jamaica.
Oh, my.
And Commander Denise McCauley-Crary took your brother down to Jamaica.
Yep.
And they had a ball. I'm sure that base was rocking.
They had a ball.
From Jamaica, and she is really the first female president of the National Naval Officers Association. And yours truly, Captain Rick Wright. I'm on the board of directors and also the historian for the organization. Aunt Virginia, God bless you and your soul, your family, and the life of your incredible brother.
Incredible indeed.
Incredible brother.
Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. And I tell you, you all in the Naval Association, you are doing fabulous work. Keep it going. Bob was so supportive of that organization, and as you say, one of the founders.
Yes.
You're doing a great job keeping the legacy of him and others like him alive. So thank you for this opportunity.
Aunt Virginia, if I can get a shot at it, I might try to get down to Washington, to Arlington, but if I don't make it, we will meet very, very soon, and I'll get you back on the air.
Perfect.
So you can talk to the world here. Just a poor old guy from Elizabeth City, North Carolina, and thank God for the efforts of your brother, where I ended up becoming a captain in the United States Navy and now retired and still very active. But Aunt Virginia, San Francisco, Oakland, California. Hey, by the way, ever since they closed Treasure Island down, I've been crying.
I know.
I've been crying, Aunt Virginia.
The same way. We had a lot of good times and his wife at that assignment for him.
Boy, that all O Club, I never forget having a nice suite in the bachelor's officer's quarters looking at the San Francisco skyline.
Beautiful views.
Well, I can about stay with you, Aunt Virginia. I tell you what, I love you so much. And Hayes Gray and underway to the life of your great brother, Admiral Robert Lee Toney, United States Navy, and as he is laid to final eternal rest in the Arlington National Cemetery, Washington, D.C. Aunt Virginia, I'll get back to you shortly, all right?
Thank you very much.
Love you now. California,
love you.
Admiral Robert Lee Toney's sister.